Blog Talk Radio.
Many books taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was wrote, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still
Yo,
dying.
I'm the bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth. Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The currents, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creator can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked that you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Testing, testing, one, two, testing. Testing, testing, one, two, three, testing. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
doesn't matter. Yeah, you'll hear me. He doesn't have to. Good morning, everybody. This is I'm Ahmad, and I'm joined by Mashaba. Yinawathan, James, and Mashaba. I think I said Mashaba twice. But good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sabbath class we have here at the main downtown public library here in Albuquerque, New Mexico at 501 Copper Avenue Northwest, and which we do every Saturday morning, early afternoon. And today we're a little bit late getting started, but nonetheless, we are here pushing forward in this truth, trying to get this word out. And happy to have you join us, whoever may be listening in right now. Those of you listening in, other than the people that are here, and if you're fairly new or just your first time listening, we are the Hebrew Israelites, the chosen people of God according to the Bible, and the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel. And our agenda, what we're pushing for, and is to return to the Heavenly Father and learn how to serve Him, learn how to return to Him, how to properly serve Him. Because what happened was we at one point in history, the Hebrew Israelites, according to the Bible, turned their back on their father and started idol worshiping, pagan worship, started worshiping and following other things, the customs of the people around them. Had nothing to do with God at the time. For that, we went into captivity as a nation. That's the reason that all of the things that have befallen, the unfortunate incidents that have befallen the 12 lost tribes of Israel have befallen us, is because we turned our backs on our powers. Our forefathers did this, and we're suffering the repercussions behind that. So we're here to push the agenda of returning back to our power as a people, building this nation back up and returning back to the Most High, returning back to His righteousness, and so that we can get ourselves up out of the captivity, the current captivity that we are in, and be in power in our rightful position of authority once again on this earth. Again, we have to return to the Most High. We have to return to God, our power, our God, which is the Most High. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we familiarize ourselves with the Bible, with the Word of God, with the Scriptures. In other words, the instruction. And Okay. Again, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14. I have somebody read that.
You have to be extremely loud. Uh-oh.
I can hear you.
That's what's up. All right, cool. Jeremiah, the mic is working. Shalom, everybody.
Hello.
Somebody read Jeremiah 3, 14. You can break it down.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you.
So right here, what the Most High is telling His chosen people to turn, O backsliding children, meaning we've gone backward. We've gone in the opposite direction we're supposed to be going. Away from the Most High. And the Most High acknowledges, He's letting us know, to turn, O backsliding children, turn back towards me. Quit sliding away from me and turn back towards me, said the Lord, right? Read on after the Lord once again.
Jeremiah 3:14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For I am married unto you.
So the Most High said He's married to us. So to get a more clear perspective of married, what is the Most High trying to tell us? What does He mean by that? I would prefer to look up the word married, so we can all be on the same page with this. Just as a husband is married to a wife. That's what He's telling us. He's married to this nation as our husband. But I have the word marry, and it says cause to meet or fit together, join in marriage. And the example is I was married in church. Get married, wed, be wed, become man and wife. So what the Most High is telling us in this scripture is he's married to us. We're his wife. And he's our husband. He said, come back. What does a wife do when she decides to turn away from her husband? She commits adultery. She's committing adultery. And that's what this entire nation has done. We've committed adultery against our father because we're supposed to be his wife. We're supposed to be married to him. And that's what we've done, is we've committed adultery against him. So go ahead and read top 14 again.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord.
He's asking us to turn back to him. Or he's telling us, turn back to me, come back. I'm here, you forgot who your power was, and you think you can do it without me. But we haven't had much success without our power. So what we need to do is turn back to our power. Maybe that'll make a difference. Maybe that'll work for us. We've tried everything else. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe that's something we need to consider. So, you know what? Oh, okay. This is what's been the issue this whole time. Maybe we need to figure out first who we are, where we're at, and what we're supposed to be doing. And then maybe we can regroup and fix this issue that we've been having amongst this nation, this particular nation that can't seem to figure out anything as far as progress or how to get ahead as a people. But go ahead.
And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion.
So it said one of a city and two of a family. So scripture that immediately comes to mind when he's saying that is, many are called, few are chosen. Everybody's not going to fall in line. Everybody's not going to listen. Everybody's not going to accept this truth. Like, whatever it takes, if the whole family is not going to accept this, then whoever accepts this truth, I'm going to take that person and use them and bless that person. But go ahead.
And I will give you pastors according to my own heart.
To my heart. And I will give you pastors according to my heart. What he means by that is, pastors are what? Teachers? People that speak for God, speak for the Most High?
And I will give.
Hold on. He said, I will give you pastor, not just anybody that speaks or teaches the Bible, but he said, according to his heart, which is strictly by the words of the Most High. That's the only way we know what the Most High wants. And his will is through the scriptures, right? But go ahead.
Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
So the knowledge is the knowledge of the scriptures, of course, right? And the understanding is what you comprehend from your studies, from your reading. And we need teachers to help us with the understanding, help us understand what we read. Nobody can really get this by themselves. We need to get the understanding that's been imparted on someone else. Teachers are a necessary thing to our raising this nation and giving this truth and spreading this truth and waking this nation up. But I believe that's it, verse 14 and 15.
When you look at the word backsliding,
mm-hmm.
which is the act of apostatizing, the word apostatizing means someone whose beliefs have changed,
mm-hmm.
and no longer belongs to a religious group or something. So basically, the act of backsliding is the act of changed from faith or practice, you know, falling insensitively from religion and into sin and or idolatry. And that's what Israel has done. That's what they did. So they fell away from the Most High, what his teachings were, his law, statutes, commandments. It says, I shall have no other gods before me. Well, we wanted what the other nations wanted. We wanted to follow their ways and stuff like that. And Most High here is saying, hey, turn, come back to me. Because I'm married to you. I have chosen you out of all the other nations so that you're going to serve me, that you are special to me. I am joined. Marriage means joined. I'm joined unto you. You know, and and it goes on when you go on to look at how it says, I will take you one of a city to a family. He only deals in small numbers. You know, okay, cool. You know, small numbers. Because look at all the families that were and how he chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's particular seed. Out of all the families out of the world that we could have gone with, yeah, he could have gone to Ishmael or somebody like that. But no, what did he choose? He chose a specific set of persons. He narrowed it down, even though they had different sons and stuff like that. He narrowed it down to a specific small amount.
Anybody else want to add to that point? Excuse me for the dead space.
Thank you, brother, for giving me trying to fill in for me while I was trying to get his computer set up and everything. I run a very sloppy organization. I'm not organized for anything, and it's getting old. Me keeping apologizing for not being organized. It really is getting old. But anyway, the season that we're in right now, the thing we're dealing with is Hanukkah. For a lot of brothers and sisters, they did observe last night as the first night of Hanukkah, and kind of go with that theme or whatever. Give me St. John chapter 10, verse 22. Actually, before we go there, let's do 11 to last night. Let's get Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 3 and verse 1. And class was supposed to start at 11. Was it even a pushback from 10? It was. We're supposed to actually start Sabbath class at 10 when the library opens. I got pushed back to 10:30, then 11, and now it's 12 something, and we're just getting started. Very sloppy, and it goes beyond saying it's my fault. We only have like maybe 15 minutes left of broadcast to even get this out, but I'm going to try to do the best I can. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
All right, so if we're looking at the scriptures here, it's telling us that there's a time and place for everything. Now, there's a time and season for everything. And this is how the Most High does look at things. This is how the Most High does consider things. There's a time and season for everything. All right, so from there, we're going to go to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. The exact same scripture we went over last night. All So again, from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, we understand and know that the way the Most High looks at things, as we're returning back to the Most High, that the Most High see that there's a time and place, a time and season for everything. As we're returning back to Him, it's up to us now to get our minds, our outlooks, our perspectives back on the way that He sees things, to be united with Him. This, not so much as now trying to keep making Him see things our way, but now it's time for us to see things His way. Okay? So we just read Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. Now let's get Romans 13, 11.
Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
All right, and then with the first part of the scripture again, it says that, and that we're supposed to know the time. Right? Again, just like we went over last night, that it's up to us as Israelites now, and returning back to the Most High, what is the Most High's time? What's, if the Most High is telling us from Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 that there's a time and season for everything, then it's up to us now to figure out what time and season is the Most High dealing with. A lot of times we want to come back and make the Most High deal with what, and look at things our way and see it from our perspective and see how I'm feeling and this is what I'm going through. But one thing we don't do as Israelites is now get into the Most High's time and season. What time does the Most High have us dealing with? What season does the Most High want us to look at? But we're steadily trying to make Him look, relate, understand, be compassionate, feel how we look at it, but we don't do the same thing. We won't come back and look at how the Most High looks at things. And then we get mad, frustrated, want to quit, throw temper tantrums, I'm leaving, you don't care, you don't love, you don't think about me, you're very selfish, why don't you ever consider what I'm going through? If you love me, God, if you love me, you would do things my way. You know, as opposed to where God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And again, He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll keep my requests. That if I'm requesting you to do something, that if you love me, you would consider and think about and that I'm even just asking you and not telling you. But that's not how the Father does things. He gives commandments, laws, orders. And what we ain't figured out yet is if we owe the Father to show Him we love Him by keeping His commandments, by doing things His way. Real quick, as a matter of fact, give me Malachi. Chapter 1, we'll start at verse 1.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Verse 2. I have loved you, said the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?
Right. Mosiah is making a statement. I've loved you, said the Lord. But in our mentality, our attitudes, we come back at the Most High like, how you love us, how you love me. We're in the ghettos and the slums. We're on the bottom. You took my mom. You took my aunts. You took my best friends. Everything I love, you take away from me. Everything I cherish, it is obliterated. God, how you love me? How you give a damn about me? Yeah, God, if you really love me, you give me a Grammy, an Academy Award, let me win the lottery. For those of us old enough, I'd marry Holly Berry. I guess today it's Nicki Minaj for this generation today, I guess, or Cardi B or whoever it is. If you really love me, you let me smoke what I smoke, want to smoke, drink what I want to drink. Just do what the hell I want to do and accept me. So we have this attitude like, God, how you love us? My life's been hard. It's been a struggle. just being this, that, and the third. I got to obey. I got to submit. How you love me? But let's read that verse again, verse 2.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, said the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?
How you love me, God? Read.
Was not Esau Jacob's brother?
So what's the Most High's response to our claims, our attitude, that God, you don't really love me? The Most High's reply is, look, was not Esau Jacob's brother? Read.
Saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob.
Meaning what? Who was older between Esau and Jacob?
Esau.
So who was the blessing supposed to go to?
Esau.
But who did the Most High get a blessing to?
Jacob.
He said, look, if I didn't choose y'all, y'all be the ones coming out of the caves. Y'all be the Neanderthals. Y'all would be
the cavemen, right?
And y'all would be the Greeks and the Romans, the Spanish, the French, the Germans, Russians, and the British. Yahweh came and punished the Edomites for them not being and keeping the commandments of the Father. Yahweh, it would be a white lives matter right now. That the Edomites would have been in slavery, came on slave ships, had their family sold and broken apart and destroyed. Because I chose them, they were disobedient, so now I had to punish them. And I'm using you Israelites to punish the Edomites because they got the blessing. But that's not how this happened. That's not how this went down. Y'all were the youngest, Israel. I chose y'all before y'all were born. That I was going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. Y'all broke the covenant. Y'all disobeyed. I could have just let things continue as they were going. Let Esau get the blessing. Let Esau be on top. And if he was disobedient, I would have used y'all Israelites to punish them. Hell, it wouldn't be Israelites. It'd be just Jacobites. But I chose y'all. That if y'all were obedient, I would be your God. And you would be my people. Read verse 2 again.
Verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother?
And again, the Most High's response and reply to us is what? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? He was the oldest. The birthright, the blessing, according to how the Most High has done things from the beginning, was supposed to have gone to Esau. He was the eldest. Read.
Yet, saith the Lord, says, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob.
Yeah, I love Jacob. I chose y'all. Read.
And I hated Esau.
Read.
And laid his mountains and his heritage waste.
Right.
For the dragons of the wilderness.
I let them go up in the caves and become the Caucasians. I only cleaned them up, gave them in Norelco, Vic, let them allow to invent Nair, Chinese salons, to lose their hair, gain some color, because really, I had to use them to punish y'all.
So again, we get this attitude like, God, where you love me at? If you love me, you'd give me what I want, when I want, the way I want it. Let's go to John 3:16.
John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
When I come back and examine and meditate this scripture, we know from Isaiah 45:17, he's talking about the world of Israel. But what does that mean, that he gave his only begotten Son? What did he give his only begotten Son up to? Being crucified, tortured, damaged, bruised, bloodied. The first time I bought your home, I know the care and the concern and the carefulness and driving him from the hospital back to the duplex we had. The thought of, I will let anybody just torture, beat, mutilate, my son so that they can now live? Because that's essentially what the Most High did. I'm going to take my only son. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to torture him. All the anger I have for the nation of Israel, I'm going to take it out on him. So that you ungrateful, unappreciative, backsliding heifers, that y'all might make it. If I had to give my son Abijah up to torture, being mutilated, said a bunch of ungrateful shit-talking people could live, Israel, y'all be some dead motherfuckers. Excuse my language. Yeah, my son's on the cross and cries out to me, Father, why have you forsaken me? For people who don't give a damn, I'm glad I'm not the Most High, because you know, I'm not reached that level of love. But the Father did. He gave his only begotten Son to become a bloody pulp. Not for a grateful, appreciative, thankful, but this is what he did. And as a father, I can only start to kind of relate to John 3:16. If could I give my son up this way? But he did. Now he just asked me to just come back, repent. Now I start doing things the right way. Haggai 1 and 4 real quick.
Haggai chapter 1, verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?
So we're more worried about our own stuff than benefiting our brothers and sisters, than putting together the house of the Most High. Selfishness. It's every man for himself.
Read on. Keep reading.
Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
What's the Most I should do?
Consider your ways.
You should think about how you do. I think of your way is better. Why can't the Most High and everybody see things my way and see what I'm going through? He's saying consider your ways. Like, why don't you look at, if you're Israelites, why are y'all going through what you're going through? Because y'all been broke the covenant. Y'all ain't been faithful. Y'all ain't been true. Y'all ain't doing things the way I lay things out. Y'all been trying to force me to look at things your way the whole time I've been with y'all. Consider your ways. Why don't you consider how you do things that you don't do things right? Let's get Ezekiel 18:25 real quick.
Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal.
That ain't right. That ain't fair. I gotta go through this. I didn't know. I mean, even though the Bible's been here for how long? I didn't know it was gonna be like this. Read on, please.
Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?
The way we do things is unequal. It's not just. It's not fair. We get paid back for the things we do, and we want to bitch and complain and moan. But it's not like the Most High ain't gave from the time of Moses till now, warnings. If y'all don't listen, this is what's going to happen. If y'all keep choosing the wrong thing, these are going to be the consequences. That ain't fair, that ain't right. I should be able to have my kid eat it too. Look, if you make this bed, you got to lie in it. Why I got to lie in it? Because you made it. That ain't fair. That ain't right. I know what you prepared, it was all good, but I didn't listen. So now I got this cot, and now the way I put this cot together, I got to sleep in it? God, if you really love me, you give me king-size bed. Already made up. But you're going to make me have to earn it. That's messed up, Yahweh. Anyway, this is about us getting into the Most High's mindset, not looking at things from our own. So Ecclesiastes 3:1 told us what? That there's time and seeds for everything. Romans 13:11 told us what? That we got to know what time it is. And the Most High's time of things.
what season is most I have going on. From there, let's get John 10:22.
John chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
All right, cool. So this is Christ. And very literal. Can we read verse 22 again?
Verse 20, John chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication.
All right, so during this time, it's at Jerusalem, and it's during the feast of dedication. Go ahead.
It was winter.
And what season were they in?
Winter.
In dealing with the season, the actual season. It was the winter season. And it was during the winter season, what observance, what was going on? What was happening?
The Feast of Dedication.
All right, when we read St. John 10:22, it was the Feast of Dedication. It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't Kwanzaa. It wasn't the bowl games or
Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Super Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl. It wasn't the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
What they got going on now here, the River of Lights?
Yeah, the Luminarias, the...
The Dragon Lights Festival. The Dragon Lights, which is the Chinese festival or lights that they got going downtown or at the Expo. They're, all these lights and doing that, you're looking at everything. It's showing their pagan god, their gods, and their stuff like that that their people are viewing and looking on and stuff like that. They have a season for everything, like the season of the rat or the year of the rat, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what this is. This is not doesn't say this is the winter. This is the season of the rat. But it doesn't say that. It says this is the feast of dedication. Mm-hmm. In the winter.
So during the winter time is the what?
Feast of dedication.
So if we're gonna try and get our mindset back to how the Most High does things. In the winter season, what is he looking for?
His dedication.
The dedication. Are we going to dedicate back to the Most High? That's what it's about. And this is where we get the Hebrew word hanak from. And it's from the Hebrew word hanak, which means dedication. We get the word hanakah. Right, and this is what we go back to, and I'm sure a lot of brothers and sisters have been over Hanukkah, as again it started last night for a lot of brothers and sisters. That of the light of the candle, it's 8-day long celebration, what have you, and we know that from 1 Maccabees chapter 4. Well, 1 Maccabees chapter 1 through 1 Maccabees chapter 4, we had the defiling of the temple, we had the Greeks coming into power, and really just doing a number on Israel. And really just coming in and punishing us and defying the temple, the actual physical temple. And then we read where Judas Maccabees and his 11 brothers, five brothers, came back and they cleansed the temple. They rebelled, revolted against the rulership of the of Antiochus Epiphanes, who had conquered Syria, including Israel, and came really defiled the temple. And then they came back in and they cleansed the temple. And it happened to be within the seventh month, the 25th day, which does actually come out to December 25th.
Ninth month? You said seventh month, right? Ninth month.
I'm sorry, it is the ninth month, right. I said seventh month, and that's it. Feast Tabernacles
mm-hmm.
is actually the ninth month, the 25th day, which at that time would come out to what of the world is now called Christmas. But it was the Feast of Lights, the Feast of Dedication, where we rededicated the temple that Solomon had built. And so, and going off of that premise just a little bit, give me Acts 7:48. Is that what we went over last night?
I believe so, yes. Acts chapter 7.
And we started 46, if I'm